Daf Chaf Tes. So we got to the last line of Chaf Ches Mabez. The Gemara has been going through different foods in terms of the Erev, how much you need. I mentioned this yesterday, but we're referring to Erev Tchumim. Erev Tchumim, what is needed, the size to set up an Erev Tchum. So we end up needing, we'll see how much shear, but in essence we need two sudos of to set up an Erev Tchumim. The idea of Erev Tchumim is to set something up before Shabbos, whereby you have extended 2,000 amos to walk, not carry, but to walk on Shabbos, and the reason why you need two sudos is because the idea of an Erev Tchumim is to set up a base dira, a little like a house for yourself. No one stays over a place with less than two meals. Two meals establishes a certain makum dira, so we're trying to figure out which shear is necessary for different foods. So the Gemara now says again, last line of Chaf Ches Amin Beis, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Ma'arvin Bitradin Chayin, a person is allowed to use, I think this is radish, raw radish. If I'm wrong, let me know, because I always confuse the different names. But you're allowed to use that for an Erev Tchumim. So asks Gemar Eini, is that really true? V'homer Rav Chisda Silka Chaya, which is Aramaic for Tradin, Silka Chaya, Kotil Gavra Chaya. That if one has a raw radish, it actually kills a person. It's deadly. So certainly a person should not have Erev Tchumim with it. And the Gemara answers, Hahu Bibasha V'lobasha. That's referring to where it's partially cooked. That's a situation where it's dangerous. But if it's completely raw, then it's actually helpful. A person can't eat it. But if it's somewhat cooked, apparently it makes it worse. And that's where we say it's dangerous and one should not use it for Erev Tchumim. Ika da'ami, others say, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Ein Marvin, Betradin Chai, and a person should not make an Erev with this. Damar Rav Hachista, Tzilka Chaya, Kadil Gavra Chaya, because Rav Chista teaches that it's dangerous, it's lethal. But don't we see all the time people do in fact eat it and they don't die? Hasam answers, when we said that it's dangerous, it's when it's partially cooked. When it's completely raw, however, it is actually beneficial. And Amr of Chista comments further that Tavshil shall Tiradin, Yafil Lev, it's good for the heart. Tov Leinaim, it's good for the eyes. The Kolshgain Levinimaim, and certainly it's beneficial for the stomach. So Amr Abai says, who? It's only so much the Yosiva Abay Tafe V'Avid Toch. It's only good, it's only helpful, there's only medicinal benefits if a person has it sit on top of some type of pot and begins to cook and make some sound Toch, like a little like a bubbling of some sort. That's when it's beneficial. So it seems from all this, those who want to know, I think it's radish. Am I wrong about the radish? Am I right? Is it? Beets. Okay, beets. I can use beets and radish. They're both red on the outside. So either way, so beets. So beets are good if they're raw, you can eat them. If they're partially cooked, they're unhealthy. And if they are cooked in this way, they actually, it serves as some form of a refuah. So Gemara says further now, Amar Rava. Rava says that Hareini Ben Azai Beshuka Teveria. I'm like Ben Azai in the Shuk. What does that mean? He's like Ben Azai in the Shuk of Teveria. So Rashi tells us, we have a Gemara that says three lines down, Rashi quotes, Hareini keben azai b'shuke tiveria yom de bidicha havalei l'rava. He was happy. He was very elated. He was having a clear mind. V'amar lahu, he says to everyone who's around him, the tamidav to his students, hashtat seili daita, my das is so crystal clear now. V'hareini mezuman lahashu b'charifas, I'm able to answer with sharpness. L'chol ma mishi yishalenu keben azai, I can answer any question who challenges me, just like ben azai sheya dorish b'shuke tiveria, the way he would give a drasha in the shuk in tiveria. There's no one who's able to uproot mountains in learning like Ben Azai. Ben Azai would say about himself that Chol Chachme Yisrael Lefanai Kiklipas Hashom, that every Chacham is like the peel of a of garlic, which means that they're worthless. They can't stand up against me. Except for that bold person who referenced to Rabbi Akiva. So this was a day where Rabbi was feeling very, very clear-minded, like Ben Azai in the Shuk, and he said, "Ask me any question you want." So Amar Leih Ahu Mirabban, a certain Talmud Chacham asked him, L'Rava, Tapuchim Bekama, how many apples does one need in order to set up an Erev Tchumim using apples? So Amar Leih, V'chim Arvin, but Tapuchim, are you allowed to use the Tapuach for an Erev Tchumim in the first place? So he says back, so that's what Rava said. So the Talmud Chacham says to Rava, V'lo, you can't use Tapuchim, why couldn't you use apples for an Erev Tchumim? V'atnan, the Mishnah teaches us in Maseches Me'ila, all types of food are mitzdarf to the shear that one violates. We're actually referring to tuma for tuma. Lifsol as a gviya bechatzi pras, in order to a gviya as a guf, a body. If you have a tzir for an amount of food together, which normally you need a kebetza of food to be mitame, to become tame and to be mitame, so it combines to all types of foods combined together to puzzle a person from eating truma. And the Mishnah adds further, umazon shtei sudash le'erev, and also all types of food may be used for the two meals of an erev tchumim, and also kibetza latame tumas ochlin, and it's subject to tumah when it amounts to a shear of a kibetza. So we see, kol ochlim, all foods can combine to these three halachas, passing a person from tumah, tumas ochlin, and erev tchumim. And certainly apples are ochlin, so why would you think you cannot use apples for erev tchumim? So the Gemara says, "Vahai my tufta." What exactly was your shaila? Why did you think a tapuach was necessarily inferred from this Mishnah? Ilema mishum. If you're going to tell me dekatani shekola ochlin, all foods are included in the halachas of erev tchumim. V'hani bnei achilin inu, and apples are certainly edible in the food. V'hama Rabbi Yochanan. We have a statement from Rabbi Yochanan. Ein lemedim minaklalus. Don't learn just because a rule says something and it sounds like it's a categorically true. We don't learn from klalus. V'afil b'makom shenemar b'chutz. Even when it says chutz me something, there still can be possible exceptions that were not listed. So just because tapuach is a ochel doesn't necessarily mean it actually fits into the Mishnah. So ella mishum dekatani, because it says uvimazon shtei sudos le'erev ukebeitza latami tumas ochlin. The last two halachas in that Mishnah lumped together the food for an erev along with the tumas ochlin, and we know vahani nami b'nei tumua tumas ochlin inu. And it's a davar pashit, and that apples certainly are food and are subject to tumas ochlin. So by the fact that it was connected, it was coupled together with mazon shtei sudos, it also works for erev tchumim. So that being said, after establishing that certainly apples do work for an erev tchumim, the Gemara asks v'kama. So how many apples do you actually need? So Amar Rav Nachman, tapuchim bekav. You need a kav, which is a pretty large amount of apples, in order to establish an erev tchumim with apples. So the Rishonim all ask the question, what was the havamina that you couldn't use apples for erev tchumim? Why would you think otherwise? So there are a few different answers that are brought. So some Rishonim say, the Ritva says, we're referring to apples that are found, he says, because since apples are meant for dessert and not for the main part of the meal, the thought was only the ikar suda serves as erev tchumim, not that which is as a dessert. Tosos suggests an answer that because referring to apples that are found in the wild, that are not necessarily as edible as apples that we find in the supermarket, so different types of apples. And the third answer, Tosos writes on Daf Chav Zayin, it wasn't really a shaila. Rav was just trying to mechadid his talmidim. He's just trying to challenge them and test them and teach them, but it wasn't really a havamina that apples don't work for erev tchumim. Either way, we see that it does work, and the din is you need a size of a kav of erev of apples. So the Gemara says, is that really true? Meisiv, they ask from a brisa when it comes to meiser ani, giving meiser ani, when you give fruit or food to an ani, you have to give a certain shear that's considered a certain amount. So Rabbi Shimon and Elazar Omer, uchla tavlin, a certain amount of tavlin, of spices, that would be the measurement to give of tavlin. The litra yerek, if you're giving vegetables, it needs to be a litra of vegetables. The asara egozim, 10 egozim, chamisha aparsikin, 5, what are these, peaches, ushnei rimonim, 2 pomegranates, the esok echad, 1 esok, all these is the different shirim that are necessary for setting up an erev tchumim for each of the fruits respectively. The amar gursak bar dari, it's an individual's name, mishmei dirav menashia bar shguvle, mishmei dirav, v'chein le'erv, just like that's true when it comes to maaser ani, the same exact halacha that measurements and shirim apply to erev tchumim. So v'hani nami leheve ki afarsikin. Let the apples be no different than peaches. They're all the same things, right? So if you afarsikin, it's allowed to be used, you can use 5 of them, so apples also, 5 should be sufficient. Why do you need a kav of apples to establish an erev tchumim? And so the Gemara answers, "Hani chashivi, hani lo chashivi." Apparently, afarsikin are more chashiv than apples. So afarsikin, it's enough to have just 5 of them. But apples, which are not considered as chashiv, you need a kav. You need much more of the apples to establish a proper erev tchumim. So the Gemara now says further, "Amar of Yosef Shara le Mara the Rav Menashe bar Shguvle Ana Amisa Nele Amasisin Ruam Rab Raisa." Hi, I said it based on a Mishnah, and you said it based on a Brisa. In other words, you quote a Brisa v'chein be'irvin, but I quote a Mishnah Maseches Me'ilah v'chein be'irvin. So why would you prefer the Brisa over the Mishnah that I brought? The same outcome comes out. So the Gemara says, "Ditznan ein pochsin la'ani b'garon." I'm sorry, the different Mishnah was saying. I'm sorry. This about the Mishnah we're about to bring now by Ma'is Ani. Ein pochsin la'ani b'garon. Don't give less to an ani in the garon, in the threshing field, don't give less than the following shirim. Mechatzi kav chitin. If you're giving chita, it should be no less than half a kav to an ani. If it's saorin, it should be the kav saorin. And Rabbi Meir Omer, chatzi kav saorin, and kav chatzi kusmin, and kav grogros, o mana devela. Rabbi Kiva Omer, pras v'chatzi log yayin, And Rabbi Akiva Omer, read that again. Mana Devela, Rabbi Akiva Omer Pras. Then it comes to Yain, Vechati Lo Yain, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Revius of wine. And Revius of Shemen, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Shminis, a log of oil. Ushar Kopers, all other fruits. Amar Abashol, Kidei Shim Kareim, Vikach Ben, Mazon She Sudos, enough to sell and acquire two amounts of meal, of meals. The Amarav, the Chain, Leir. So to Erev Tchumim, the Shir is Shtei Sudos. So the question is, Mai Ulmei Dahai Mach, why we bring a Mishnah versus a Braisa about teaching the Echein, the Erev Tchumim, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because the previous Braisa that they brought, that said V'chein Le'erevin, that had the whole list of a Farsikin, also had the list of Tavlin, so we would have thought that Braisa wouldn't be sufficient. Because Mishum de Katani Bahach, if you're going to tell me, because de Katani Bahach, the Braisa says Tavlin spices, the Tavlin Lavane Achila, and no one eats spices, no one eats the pepper or salt, that's not a Suda. So maybe you should say, just like the fact that Tavlin's on the list and Tavlin doesn't work for Erev, so too you should delete the words V'chein Le'erev from that previous Braisa, and it can't teach us anything. But the Mishnah that we just brought here, of all the list of things of Sa'ora and Chitin, no one eats Ruach Chitin, no one eats Ruach Sa'ora, V'la B'nei Achila Ninu, and yet the Mishnah still says, V'chein Le'erev. So that can't be the problem, just because there are certain items listed that are inedible. When it says V'chein Le'erev, it's referring to whichever ones are edible, so then they would apply to Erev Tchum as well. But those lists, though that which was listed, that's not edible, that was not included under V'chein Le'erev. Ella, the reason why we didn't like that braisa and we prefer the Mishnah is Bishim Dekatani Chati Lo Yain, because it says a half an amount of yain. U'amarav Ma'arvin Bishtei Revius Yain, and we have a Mesorah that you need two amounts of Revius for wine, for Meiser. The fact you need so much wine for an Erev, Shmamina, Ki Amarav, V'chein Le'erev, Aha Masisin Ka'amar. When he said his comment on V'chein Le'erev, he was referring to the Mishnah, because the fact that we have a Masorah, that Shtei Revius Yain is needed for Erev, that's accepted, and this Mishnah, it says that you need Shtei Revius for Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani, so it must be that V'chein Le'erev is going on this Mishnah with the larger shear of wine, and not referring to the Brisa, which is at a different shear, Shmamina. So just a technical point of which, not a change in halacha, just a change of which do we prefer as the source. Is it the Mishnah or is it the text? But in the end, the Gemara concludes that you do need two reviews of wine. There is a machlokas rishonim, whether or not we conclude in the end of the day with tavlin, can one use tavlin as an eruv? Because the Gemara seems to say you can't use it because it's labnei achilininu, but it wasn't really so clear in the end. So there is a machlokas rishonim whether one can use tavlin as eruv tchumim, halacha lemaisim. Hey, let's go further now. The Gemara says, I'm looking one thing up here, hold on, okay. The Gemara now says, Amar Mar, Uvimazon Shtei Sudos Le'erev. We said above in the Mishnah in Maseches Me'ilah that you have two amounts of food you could use for an Erev. Two meals is enough for an Erev. So, Sava Rav Yosef Le'meimar, Ad Di'ika Suda Mehai Usud Mehai. That line of the Mishnah was going on the part of the Mishnah that said, Kola Ochlim Et Starfin. So you could combine all foods together if it amounts to a total of Shtei Sudos. So the Havamina of Rav Yosef was, that's only if you have each one individually is a Suda in its own right, meaning you need two types of foods at most. You could have meat and bread. The bread has to be a Shiva Suda, and the meat has to be a Shiva Suda. But if you have less than a Suda of a meat, and or you have like five different items, and they don't amount to a Suda in its own right, it wouldn't work. That was the Havamina. And Amar Le Rabba, Rabba says back to Rav Yosef, no. Even if you have a half, a third, a quarter of a meal, that's fine. As long as you add up all the food together, even though individually neither one of them add up to a suda, as long as the sum of them add up to two sudas, that's enough to qualify as Erev Tchumim. So the Gemara then says, Gufa, we just said above, Amar Rav Marvin Bishtei Revius Shayayin. A person could make an Erev Tchumim using wine as long as there are two reveals of wine. So umibain and kuli had, does a person need so much wine to establish an erev tchumim? Is that really necessary? So the Gemara says, v'hatanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, yain k'dei lechabel, enough to dip bread into wine. They used to dip bread into wine, or chometz vinegar k'dei latababel, to dip the bread into wine as well. Zeisim ubetzalim olives and onions k'dei lechabel, to eat them with the bread shtei sudos. So the amount of wine needed to dip bread in two meals worth of bread, you don't need that much wine to dip the bread in. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam bechamra mevasha. When we said the amount of wine needed to dip bread in, that's a smaller shear, that was referring to cooked wine. But we're talking about raw wine, uncooked wine, ainu mavusha wine. That's where you need shtei reviews of wine itself. And Rashi explains here. Rashi says, "B'chamer mevushal." Five lines up, the end of the line. "B'chamer mevushal kamar the chashiv lalafes bo." It's chashiv to dip bread in a b'chamer ba'alma, but just a regular plain uncooked wine. B'inon lios bo shtias beisudos vayinu beis reveals. You need that shear of two reveals. That's what comes out from this. So it's interesting that just from this point here, the Gemara says it sounds like cooked wine, yayin mevushal, is more chashiv than yayin ein mevushal, because less wine is needed for yayin mevushal, yayin ein mevushal. In Hilchos Kiddush, we have the opposite to be the case, because when it came to the Mizbeach, the Gemara Bava Basra says, yayin mevushal was pasul for the Mizbeach, and the Rambam says we're supposed to look at whatever is acceptable for the Mizbeach is acceptable for Kiddush. So Rambam thinks that l'chachila one should not use yayin mevushal because it's actually inferior to that of yayin ein mevushal. That just comes out from this distinction. L'gabe Hilchos Ervin, yayin mevushal is more chashiv. L'gabe Hilchos Kiddush, yayin mevushal is less chashiv. You have a question?
Yes, so suppose you have two machalas, so one would be enough for one seuda, and it's saying that the other one you need a very small amount of wine, meaning a little bit of wine would be enough, plus something else to be arrow.
That alone is enough. Just that amount of wine that one would have two meals.
That would be enough to make an arrow.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
Though it's not
exactly
a
right. Exactly. So the Gemara then says, "Amar Mar." Chometz kedei l'tabah bo. If you're going to use oil, rather vinegar, to set up your erev, so enough of oil, enough vinegar that's normally used, that one would dip their two meals of bread in. So Amar Rav Gida, Amar Rav kedei l'tabah bo mazon shesudos shel yarek. He says the amount it takes to dip two amounts of vegetables in the vinegar. And Ikadami, others say that Amar Rav Gida, Amar Rav yarek hanechal b'shesudos. No, that vegetable that's normally eaten along with a meal, how many vegetables would you need? In other words, the first day I was saying a meal of vegetables, you're just having salads for your meal. And then one said, no, the amount of vegetables you would be having along with a bread meal. So the second mandamar is a much smaller shear than one who's kaveya his entire meal using or eating just vegetables. So Amar Mar, we said above, Zesim ubitzalim kedei lechel ben mazon shei sudos, the amount of olives and onions it would take to have two meals. So, b'betzalim mima arvin, do people eat onions? Can you really use onions to make an erev? V'atani, the Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, pam achas shavas Rabbi Meir bar Diska. He once had Shabbos in this city. Uba adam echa lefanim, a person came to him and said, Amar lo, Rabbi erafti b'betzalim l'tivin, I did you a good tova. I set up an erev tumim using onions so you could travel to Tivin on Shabbos. And Hoshiva Rabbi Meir Barba Amos Shalo, he just stayed in his four Amos and didn't move because you cannot use onions on Shabbos. The guy was so excited, but at the end of the day, it turned out pretty bad for him. Reminds me of a story once that Rav Shechter was in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot, and the guy said, Rav Shechter, and he had his dal minim, he said, oh, let me show Rav Shechter my beautiful esrog, first day of Sukkot. He says, how did it look? Is it kosher? He looks at it, he says, no, it's pasul. And it turned out pretty bad for him because it was the first day of Sukkot and he couldn't buy another Esog. So this guy was so excited to tell him what he had done, but it was completely wrong. So either way, we see that you certainly cannot use Bitzalim, you can't use onions to establish an Erev Tchumim. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, there is no contradiction, ha be'olim ha bimahos. When referring to the leaves, or the whatever you call them in English, of the betzalim, that's bad for a person, that's inedible. When it comes to the actual onion itself, the imahos, that is good for eating, and that one can use for Erev Tchumim. So apparently the guy who said the Erev Tchumim was using only the olim of the onions, that's why Rabbi Meir would not rely on it. The Tani, the Braisa says that achal batzel, a person eats onion, v'ishkim umes, he wakes up and dies, ein omrim mimames. We don't ask why he died, we know why he died, because he had an onion. Okay? V'amar Shmuel loshanu ela balm. It's only true if he ate the leaves of the onion. Aval b'imalos, if he ate the onion itself, less than but there's no concern, nothing dangerous about it. U'balam nami lo amrinan. Even when eating the leaves of the onion, it's only a problem ela dilo absil zirasa. If the leaves do not get to a certain size of a zeris of a pinky, aval absil zirasa. If it grew to the size of a pinky, less than but that is also not of concern. There's no strong, potent, venom or anything dangerous to hurt a person. So Amr Papa says further also about onions, La Amrin Ella Delo Ishte Shikha, if he didn't drink beer. About Ishte Shikha, if he drinks beer, less than by the apparently the beer is an antidote to take away any harm from this leaf of the onion. So Gemara says, Tani Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches that Lo Yochal Adam Batal Mipnei Nachash Shebao. A person should not eat onions because the Nachash Bao, not the snake, but because of the venom or whatever they call the whatever is in the onions which are sharp. You shouldn't eat it, it's dangerous. Umaisa Bereb Yechanina Sheachal Chati Batal, the Chati Nachash Shebao. He ate half an onion, which meant he ate half of the venom that's there. The Chala, he got sick. Venatalamas, he almost died. And Bikshu Chavei Rachmim Olav, and they davened on his behalf. V'chaya, and he got healthy. Mipnei Shasha Tzrich Alo, and the reason why they davened for him, different discussions about what it meant, but they needed him. He was a Tzarchei Tzibor, he was so, the Tzibor really relied on him, so the tefillos were answered, and he was saved. So we see how dangerous it is. So this is all true only when it's raw, but if it gets cooked, so then it's actually going to be fine. There is an interesting discussion, actually, about, in terms of, it's on the back here, Bishul Akum. You know, Bishul Akum is a problem, but let's say something is edible raw, but it's just inedible because it's unhealthy for a person. So, but you cook it, you could make it healthy. So, certain things are inedible. Let's say, a radish is inedible. So, if Akum cooks it, it's Bishul Akum, you can't eat it. But let's say something's edible raw, milk. So, they talk about a case of milk is edible even when it's raw. But we cook it, we pasteurize it just so we get out the bacteria, so it becomes healthy. But it's still raw, a person can eat it, it's just unhealthy for a person. To discuss when Bishul Akum is applied just to remove the unhealthy bacteria that's there, is that considered Bishul Akum? Because there's a klal, that which is nechal chai, that which is eaten raw, and a goy cooks it, it doesn't make a Bishul Akum. If they boil my water is edible. It's also not olah shechem alachem, but it's edible raw. Or if my apple is edible raw. If they bake an apple, it doesn't aser. It's only if they change it from that which is inedible to that which is edible. But let's say the milk. Milk is certainly edible straight from the cow. Straight from the goat, it's edible, but they cook it just to remove the bacteria to make it healthy. So based on the sugya of the onions, they try to discuss whether or not Bishul Akum would apply to such a scenario. The poskim have an interesting discussion. Okay, back inside now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zeir teaches us that Amar Shmuel Sheikhar Ma'arvin Bo, a person is allowed to use a beer to make an Erev Tchumim, who pulses a mikvah, but if it falls into a mikvah, it disqualifies a B'shlosh Shalugin. It's no different than Maim Sh'uvim. We know when it comes to a mikvah, you need rainwater, but you can't draw water. So if you pour beer is the equivalent of Maim Sh'uvim, and therefore it would disqualify the mikvah. So Gemara says, "Umaskula Rav Kana Pshit." Of course, it disqualifies the mikvah. Why would you think it wouldn't disqualify the mikvah? V'chima bein zel lemeitzeva. Why would it be any different than water that's been dyed? The Tnan, Rabbi Yosi Omer, meitzeva posens a mikvah b'shalosh lugin. If you take water, you dye it with whatever color you want, you pour it into the mikvah, it's pasul. So beer, in essence, is water with some hops in it, a little bit barley byproduct, and it in essence it's meitzeva. So why would you think it doesn't disqualify the mikvah? So Amri Hasam Maya Ditziva Mikri Hacha Shichra Ikri. Because there we call it Maim Tziva. It's called dyed water. It still has a shame Maim, and therefore Maim Shuvim. But beer, no one calls beer water. It's called beer. The whole idea of Maim Shuvim is only a Psul Midirbanim. So the Alisa Gemara seems to entertain the possibility that maybe only if it's called Maim Shuvim would be Pasul. But if it's not called Maim Shuvim, even though in essence it really is Maim, maybe it won't disqualify. Kamash Lam, we don't go based on what it's called, we go based on what it actually is. If you look at Tosas for a second, Dibur Maskil Hacha Sheikhar Ikri, V'yafil Hachi Tosas writes, Posa Mikvah, even though it's not called water, it's called beer, it still disqualifies a mikvah if it comes in the amount of Shlosha Lugin. V'hadam Parakam Demakos, the first parak right in the beginning there, it's a very hard sugya, the Yain Mazig ain't opposed as a mikvah, that if you have diluted wine, it actually doesn't disqualify the mikvah. Afil kisheshbo gimel lugin maim. Even when there's maim shuvim, a three lug within the wine, okay, wine doesn't disqualify the mikvah. Wine is actually good. But why? If it's wine, is it with a? It's diluted with the ratio of water to wine, whereby there's three lug of wine, rather three lug of water in that wine. It's not possible. Why not? So how come by beer we say it is possible mixed with water, but wine mixed with water is not possible? The Tosa answers, Mishum dechamra maziga mikre, because we call wine diluted wine, shiny, sheichar dechol ikaro eino ela mayim. Wine, diluted wine, in essence, is wine. It really is wine, it's just been a little bit diluted, but it's really wine. Beer is actually ikar, it's really mostly water, and we flavored the water. So beer is flavored water, wine is flavored wine. So that's the difference. Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure. The Tosas and Brachos talks about the bracha that one says on Sheikhar. Why don't we say Mazonos on beer? It's from barley, shouldn't it be? So he says it's mostly, it's in essence really water. It's been flavored. Yeah, I think so. And then Tosfos says in the end, the ode, another reason why there's a difference between wine and beer is ode, the hasam mikre chamer meziga b'shem chamer alave. Upiri lo pasal hamikva. We call wine, it's called diluted wine. It's still called wine, and we know meperos doesn't disqualify a mikvah. But apparently, I don't know how the answer is that beer is also called beer. Beer isn't called something else. But the first answer resonates much better with me, is that in essence, wine is wine, but beer in essence is really water. Okay, let's go further now. The Gemara says, in the end of the day, bekamim arvin, after establishing that beer does in fact work for an erev tchumim, how much beer do you need to use? So, Savar Rav Ha'acha, Bereid Rav Yosef, Kamed Rav Yosef, Lemeimar, Bitrein Rive Shicha. They felt 2/4, in other words, a half, 2/4 of a beer. Kiditznan, the Mishnah tells us, Hamotzi Yain, Kedei Mezikas Akos. A person takes out wine on Shabbos, carries wine without an Erev, the amount needed to dilute it properly, that's the shear of Hotzah of Yain on Shabbos. Vitani Allah, Kedei Mezikas Kos Yafa. And they add to make a Kos Yafa. What's a Kos Yafa mean? A nice cup. My kos yafe, kos shabracha, that which is needed to make a kos shabracha to use for wine of kiddush or birkas hamazon. V'amar of Nachman, amar Rabba Barvua, kos shabracha, how much is a kos shabracha? Tzarech sheheba roveya revius, 1/4, kadeshim zugenu v'yamod al revius, in order to pour water to get to a full revius. Let me explain that, we'll look inside the Gemara just a second. The ratio that we're about to learn in a second is, the ratio back then of wine to water was 1/4 wine to 3/4 water. It was mostly water. So 1/4 wine, 3/4 of water, that was the proper ratio. So the Gemara says, if you carry 1/4 of a revius of wine, that's actually chayv hotzah on Shabbos, because it has the potential to give the proper dilution ratio of 3/4 of water. So the Gemara just points this out and says, Ukdirava, damarava, kochamra, delodari, alchat, lasamaya. Any wine that has not been added 3 amounts of water to it, lav chamra, that's not considered a wine because it's too potent, too strong for a person to drink. So that's what the Brisa says, legabe wine. The katani seifa, vishar kol mashin, all other drinks, beruvius as well, v'chol shofchin, all liquids that are actually bad, that you pour out, you wouldn't drink, is also beruvius. So it comes out from all this is, when it comes to Tzav Shabbos, you need a revius of wine. But when it comes to the halachas of Erev Tchumim, we need 2/4 of wine. Why is there a larger shear for Erev Tchumim than what's needed for Hilcha Shabbos? What's the difference of Hilcha Shabbos of Hotzah versus Erev Tchumim? So Gemara answers as follows. He says, one second, Midahasim Al-Chad Arba, it's from the fact by Hotzah, it's enough to just have 1-4 ratio of wine, B'chai Hotzah, Hachanami Achad Arba. So too by Erev Tchumim, it's enough to have 1/4 of Revius as opposed to 1/2 of Revius. V'lohi, the Gemara says, not true. Hasam hu debatzer mihachi lo chashif. When it comes to Revius of wine, less than that amount is not chashif. Less than a quarter of Revius is not considered chashif. V'hacha here, legabe hilchos Erev Tchumim, lo, it's not about what's chashiv or not. It's about what a person would create a base dira for Erev Tchumim. Here, hacha lo, that's not considered enough amount of wine. The avide inish deshasi kasa b'tzafra, v'kasa b'fanya, v'samchi labahi. A person's able to set up a kos in the morning, a kos in the afternoon, that amounts to 2 cups of wine, and that's why there's a different shear for Erev Tchumim than what's needed for violating the iser of Hotzah. Take a look at Tosfos for a second, Kideshim Zegenu V'yamod Al Revius. That the amount of wine needed, that when you pour water, you have a full amount of a volume of Revius. So the Gemara says, Mashmud the Kosher Bracha Talon Mezika. It seems pretty clear that for Kosher Bracha, for Kiddush, for Havdalah, all these things, you need to have a diluted wine and water. V'chein B'perek Gimel Shachlu, Gemara Mimbrachos, Uvamocher Peros. You can't say bracha on wine that's raw until you poured water and made it drinkable. V'tema. If you remember, the 10 different halachas requiring a kosher bracha. For example, like you need to, the way you hold it, and the way you wash the inside of the cup, you wash the outside of the cup. So one of the things mentioned is v'chashiv chai. Chai means raw. It means undiluted. So it sounds like from that Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Aleph that you dafka don't use diluted wine. You want to use chai, but here the Gemara says and elsewhere implies that you need mazug. Is it mazug or is it chai? Which is preferable? The Tirtz Rashi answers the chai the kamar hainu she'inenu chai bekos v'acharkach yimzog. when it says chai in the Gemara in Brachos, it doesn't mean chai. It means you have chai, whereby you took chai and poured water to dilute it. But it really means diluted wine is what's necessary to establish a kosher bracha. That's Tosos' understanding. Now, at the bottom of this Tosos, if you look at the last 8-7 lines or so, Ubnei Nirvuna, I'm not sure where they're from, these people from this city or area, Mefarshim, they explain, the chai koyakos. It's not referring to the wine, it's referring to the becher. Ulafuke kos shavar, that you can't use a broken becher, you actually have to use a full kos shalom. That's what chai means. That's chai, it's alive, it's full. It's brought down actually to halacha. You need to use a becher that's shalim. The Magen Ram says even if the base of the becher is broken, that's also a problem. It's possible to be used as a becher. Moshe uses this Tosos to discuss whether or not you can use a plastic or paper becher for Kiddush. And he says not. He says from the fact that we say chai, kos chai means a full cup. So if a broken cup, a broken silver cup is possible, certainly a plastic or paper cup should be possible for Kiddush as well. And he says one should not use it. If you're stuck with no other option, he says maybe you could be makel, but he's very against using plastic cups. Rav Shlomo Zalman and other post-Kamenei Eretz Yisrael say you can use, because apparently Adam Chashuvim all the time make Kiddush with a plastic cup, but it's certainly much better not to use a plastic cup. One should use a silver cup or maybe a glass, but not use paper or plastic. Rav Moshe writes based on this Tosus. Okay, let's finish this daf now. We're halfway down the Amud. The Gemara says that Tamarim Bekav, if you're using dates to establish Erev Tchumim, how many do you need? Amar of Yosef, Tamarim Bekav. A kav worth of Tamarim is what's needed. So Amar of Yosef, Mina Aminola, how do I know? The Tanya Achal Grogeres Vishilim Tamarim. If a person eats Grogros, which is dry dates, and he ate from Chuma, he shouldn't have eaten, so he needs to pay back. He ate accidentally. So he needs to pay back to the Kohen, the Chuma, he pays back Tamarim, which are fully developed, and not dried dates, but nice plush dates. So the Gemara, the Brisa says, Tavola bracha, he should get bracha, for even though he ate dried dates and he repaid back full dates, he should be rewarded for doing so. So the Gemara wants to, Hechidami, what exactly was the case of him eating grogros and returning back tomorrow? The Fidami, if it's about the value of the grogros versus the tomorrow, the Achal Mine Bezuzah, he ate a zuz worth of grogros, the Kamishalim Le Bezuzah, and he paid back a zuz worth of tamarim, my tavola bracha. What exactly is he doing that's so praiseworthy? Bezuza achel, bezuza kamashalim. He ate a zuz and he returned back a zuz. He didn't, nothing great. He didn't do anything that's worthwhile of making a parade for him. So ela lav lefi mida must be according to the measurement, not according to the value, the measurement. So he says, de'achel minei garvi, I think he pronounced it, grogros, he ate a certain amount of grogros, the shavya zuzah, that was worth a zuzah, but kamashan le griva, the tamarim, he paid back the same amount of tamarim, but now tamarim are worth more of the same value of grogros, rather, the same shear of grogros and tamarim are more valuable, the shavya arba, which is worth 4 zuzah, so he paid back the same exact quantity, but he paid back a higher value, that's why we say tavola bracha, the katani tavola bracha. But either way, we see from here, Alma, Tamarim Adifa, that Tamarim are more valuable than Grogos, and therefore, there should be, you don't need the same shear of Kav of Grogos. You should be able to accomplish the same thing with less dates than a Kav of Tamarim. What? No, because you didn't borrow here, you stole. So if it's borrowing, it's different. So this is stealing and paying back. So you ate, or it's really a Nezek. You ate Chuma, you're paying back Chuma. So Rivitz is only when it's set up as a loan. So the Gemara then says that, and that's why Tavola Bracha. So we see from here, Tamarim are very chashiv, and therefore you should be able to accomplish Erev Tchumim with less than a Kav of Tamarim. So Amale Abai says back, now, Li Olam, Da'achim Minei Bezuzah, V'Kamashayim Bezuzah. The case here is where he ate a value of a Zuz of Grogos, and he returned back a value of a Zuz of Tamarim. So then, my Tavola Bracha, the guy who lost has the same value. There's no Bracha in that case. The Da'achim Minei No, the case here is where apparently Grogos is not a very exciting purchase. People don't look to buy it so much. So in the value, the guy gained, the Nigzal gained, because he gained the same amount of value, but he wants to sell tomorrow. Apparently tomorrow go off the shelf much quicker than Grogos. So now he just has this item that's easier to sell than what he had earlier. In terms of value, it's the same value, but just an easier sale of tomorrow. And that's why we say Tavola Bracha, and therefore there is no conclusion from this discussion that tomorrow are necessarily any better than Grogos. Gemara now says, Shisisa, what Shisisa, Rashi points out, Shisisa is some type of mixture of flour that's been roasted in the oven along with honey. So Shisisa, if you want to use Shisisa for your Erev Tchumim, what should you use? Amar of Achabar Pinchas Trey Shagushe, two like spoonfuls is the shear. And Kisani, which are roasted wheat, I think, that Amar Abaye Tre Bune de Pumbedisa, some type of measurement that's found in Pumbedisa. So Amar Abaye Abaye says, Amri Le Aim, his mother would teach him, Hani Kisani, these roasted wheat, roasted flour, is Malo Lilibar, good for the heart, Umivale Machshavaso, and get rid of any worries a person has. Amar Abaye Abaye said further, quoting from his mother, I think it was his adopted mother, Amri Le Aim, Hai Man de Islai Chulsha de Libe, a person who has some type of a heartache. So Laisi Bisra Datme Yemina de Dicha, a person should bring meat from the right leg of the ram. But Laisi Kavuya de Rasi de Nisan, they should bring some of the excrement from a shore grazing in the Nisan, and I guess mix it together and use it to fuel the fire. Vileka Kavuya de Risa, he doesn't have access to such excrement. So Laisi Sugina de Arvasa, he should bring some of the chips. Wood chips from a arava tree, arava branch, v'nechabanu, and he should make it into coals, v'necha, and he should eat it, v'nishtei basei chamer mark, and afterwards he should drink some type of wine, and that's a type of antidote for dealing with heartache. So Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, we'll finish with this. This is a klal. This, I think, referring to Ricky's question before about how much shear you need. If you're referring to like the reason of wine or the vinegar or the oil, we said that you don't need the actual bread there. Just the amount of dip that would be needed had you had straight soup. There's a bread. How much dip would you need? But the vinegar itself doesn't need the two pieces of bread with them. It just if it were to be joining the meal. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, kol shul lift on anything to lift on. Lift on is anything that's eaten with bread. So anything it's lift on, kadei lachobo. So let's say vinegar. Nobody eats vinegar plain, but it's a dip. It's a dip for the bread. So all you need is the amount of vinegar that would be needed if you were having it with bread. But you don't need the actual bread to be there. You just need that amount of vinegar to establish erev tchumim. But kol she'eno lift on that which is not served to be eaten to enhance the bread, rather it's eaten on its own separately, then you need kadei lachol heimanu, how much of that food itself would you eat shtei sudo. So let's say tuna fish, for example. So sometimes people eat tuna fish with a bread, and sometimes you eat it with on its own. So if I'm having tuna fish on its own as a meal, I'm going to have like a big bowl, let's say. If I'm having it with bread, I'll have less tuna fish. So if I'm using, let's say, tuna fish as an item that they classify as eating with bread, so much less tuna is needed to establish erev tchumim. But if they establish that tuna fish is something that's eaten separately, they need much more tuna fish to establish the proper erev tchumim. So how do you define which is what? I don't know. You know, let's say, I don't know, kol katz. Are kol katz meant to be eaten as a sandwich, or is it meant to be eaten separately as a full meal? So whatever the distinction would be, however they decide, that would indicate how much of each item you would need. This is also, by the way, very relevant for pasa baba kisnin. Pasa baba kisnin, we know the three types of pasa baba kisnins. There's crackers, there's a food that is very sweet, bread that's sweet, and there's bread that has the fruit inside. These are three types of pasa baba kisnin. So you say a mezonos and pasa baba kisnin, and you say ala michi afterwards. But you have a shear that a person's kovei suda on, so now it's no longer a mezonos, it becomes a motzi and benching. What's considered the amount? So they talk about the shtei sudos of erev tchumim is what they use to establish the size of erev tchumim. So they talk about, does it mean bread with the tuna fish, without the tuna fish? It becomes a very, very tricky discussion. But either way, they look at erev tchumim halachas, this very din here, as the how to create the proper shear of pasa baba kisnin. Okay, let's just do one more line, then we'll stop here. Basachai, when it comes to raw meat, we know back in the times of Gemara, they would actually eat raw meat. That's why Lagabe Hilchos Shabbos, raw meat is actually not muksa, because they would eat raw meat. And nowadays, we don't really eat raw meat, no one does. But based on the times of Gemara, it was edible, and therefore was not considered muksa. So how much basachai is needed to establish Erev Tchumim? Kedei lechel heimanu, how much a person would eat with it separately, aside from the bread, because people eat meat without bread. Basa tliya, however, it was meat that was roasted, so people apparently, that's a machlokas, whether you eat it with a sandwich or would you eat it separately. So Rabba Amar Kdei Lechobo, how much one would eat the roasted meat with bread, which is less, because you have the bread to fill you up. But Rav Yosef Amar Kdei Lecho Imanu, know how much you would eat it separately. You know, it's like when you go to a restaurant, you want to have the chicken with the sandwich or the chicken on a plate. The chicken on the plate comes with much more chicken, but the chicken comes in the sandwich. There's much less chicken in the sandwich because the bread fills you up. So then in Machlokas, how would people normally eat roasted meat? Would they eat it with a sandwich? If they normally eat it with a sandwich, so then the meat necessary would be much less than if they would have it with a separately from the bread as a plate. Okay, so we'll stop here, and we'll continue Mitzvah Shem with this tomorrow.